teaching on is about what makes a church successful. Now, what makes a church successful, a lot of people have said it's maybe the activities that they have at the church. Maybe a church that's growing shows the signs of success. It's a lot of people who give, reaches out. The church is mission-minded. The church may be relevant, or it seems to be. It runs smoothly. The church may be spirit-filled. And maybe even the church is friendly, which are all signs that the church is healthy, maybe even successful. But the thing is, these are all byproducts of the fundamentals that make churches strong. In fact, the key to a successful church really is a strong foundation. Now, that strong foundation is anchored by four different pillars. And I know we've gone over these in the last 3 or 4 weeks, but it's important that we go over these one more time so it sets the foundation for later on what we're going to talk about. But basically, it's about a strong framework. Now, these are non-binding, non-negotiable points that make a church distinctively what it is. Now, one is God is supreme and is the focus. And I'm going to stop there for just a little bit. There are a whole lot of churches that do a whole lot of good things, that have a whole lot of good programs that they do. But if the focus is the program, and if the focus is the stuff, whether it's men's ministry, women's ministry, children's ministry, it doesn't matter. If that's the focus and not God, bad focus. Ultimately, the church will suffer if God is not the focus. But equally as important, the Bible is an understanding that it is the inspired word of God, that we have sound and accurate teaching. We're very blessed to have Mike in the pulpit to teach. And members who actively, who are seeking God. This may be one of the hallmarks of a church that is healthy, that is successful. When members seek God on a day-to-day basis, when members take the time to talk to each other about God, I mean, how many times do you see each other during the week that God comes up in the conversation? I hope it does. I hope you feel comfortable doing that. But churches that the members do that and they share God with each other, it's a sign of a very strong church, solid, spirit-led leadership. We're very lucky. We've got some elders who are dedicated, spirit-led folks. But secondly, the second pillar has to do with healthy internal systems. Now, these are not stuff that we do at the church, but these attributes that I want to talk about allow the body, you, to function effectively and selflessly. And these are obedience. The body is obedient to what God would have them to do, what the Bible says to do. Love, they love each other, and it's very apparent that they do that. There's a humility. There's not a pride in the church. They don't brag about programs. They don't brag about the stuff that they do. They brag about what God is doing in their life. And unity. This is the hallmark of any church. If the church is not unified, if this does not feel like family at some level, then we have failed. The leadership here has. So having a sense of unity is a huge thing. But thirdly, the body is willing, ready, and equipped to serve. A church whose members are actively involved in service is one of the big deals about a healthy church, because they're plugged in. Members who don't serve anywhere, where there is no service, they're not willing to do that, there is no commitment, there is no tie to doing that. And fourth, the body responds correctly. Now, let me explain that. By responding correctly, I'm talking about any circumstance that there may be. I'm talking about when you with each other, when you're in the world, in your relationships, whatever it means. You respond no matter what it is. You do it with joy. Again, joy is not an emotion. It is a frame of mind that you are. Peace, that you have this peace that's different from everybody else. And forgiveness. And Mike's going to be talking about that a little bit later on. But today, what we're going to talk about is gratitude and thankfulness. Maybe one of the most important things in our witness that we can do. One of the things that the world sees in us more than any of these others about responding correctly. Thankful people have one thing in common. They all have one thing in common. They have an attitude of gratitude. Now, that seems a little bit cheesy, I know, but at the end of the day, they do. Let me explain what that means. You see, thankfulness is not about an event. John Paul does something nice to me, I say thank you. That's part of it, but that's not what we're talking about right here. We're talking about an attitude, a frame of mind that we choose every day that I'm going to be thankful for everything that happens to me, anything that goes on. I'm thankful because God is in control. It's a mindset that we do. It is never inspired by events. It is never based upon circumstance. And that's what we're going to talk about today, having this attitude of gratitude. Thankfulness is being grateful for God's abundant blessings despite the circumstances. It is never a response to an event, but again, a frame of mind. And we're going to talk about these circumstances later on and how important thankfulness is when we talk about this. It says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. James 1, verse 2. Tough to do sometimes, to be thankful when we have these trials. We're going to find that thankfulness is connected to different things that are important to that. First of all, thankfulness is connected to praise at least 15 times in Scripture. Thankfulness and praise are used together. In fact, thankfulness is an important aspect of praise. Thankfulness and praise should always be spoken. Speaking the words is the outward expression of your thanks. As we praise God, how can you praise God if you're not thankful? Why would you praise? Just because? No. We're responding to our love for Him, the praise. We're thankful. We have gratitude for what God has done. It's no different in your own relationships. You need to be telling your spouse thank you for the things that they do. It's real easy to take things, your spouse and these relationships, for granted. Telling them thank you is a huge thing. It may shock your spouse to death when you tell them thank you for something. They're like, what do you want? What's wrong? I mean, yeah, I hear that. Hebrews 13, 15 says this, through Him, Jesus, then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God that is the fruit of lips that give thanks to His name. Praise and worship is spoken. Worship and praise is a verb. It is something you do. It is something you participate in doing. A little side note about sacrifice of praise. I've always wondered what that really, really meant. And the commentaries are all over the place. But the Lord revealed me one day when I was worshiping, and I didn't really feel like doing it. I'd either had a bad day, or I mean, I was bummed out about something, but I, you know, something came on the message, and I'm just kind of singing and all this kind of stuff. And God told me, He said, you know what? It's those times that I appreciate your praise the most, because I know you don't feel like it. I know you're tired, you're exhausted, you're stressed out, but you took the time to do it anyway. Sometimes our praise and worship can be a sacrifice, even emotionally. Now, Jesus was thankful. He modeled this. Matthew 15, 36 says this, and He took the 7 loaves and the fish, and giving thanks, He broke them and started giving them to the disciples. This is when they fed the 4,000. Now, have you ever wondered why Jesus would be thankful? I mean, He's still God. Why would He be thankful? He was hungry. He was thanking God for the food. You know what Jesus did eat? He slept. He was just like us. He was thankful, just like everybody else, that there was food, because there wasn't enough food to go around. And He was going to thank God, even then, for the providing of doing that. Jesus took the time to be thankful. The other time that He did it was Matthew 26, 27, as far as it being recorded. This is the night of in the upper room. And when He had taken a cup and given thanks, He gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. Okay, now this is an interesting time to be thankful, because what's He thinking? What's He being thankful here for? What's the cup? I mean, it represents His blood. He knows he's fixing to be sacrificed. Yet at the same time, in that time of stress, and He was stressed and He was anxious about it. You look in the Garden of Gethsemane, He sweat drops of blood. He wasn't wanting to go through this. He knew He had to do it, and that's okay. but he was thanking God for it anyway. In times when it's stressful, when at times it may not feel right, we still thank God anyway, just as Jesus did. Now, there's things in Scripture where we're told to be thankful. Now, I've learned that anytime the Bible tells us to do something, it's not a request. It means just to do it. And there's times like this of being thankful. It says, for all the things God has done for you, I will thank you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all the marvelous things you've done. And I'll be filled with joy because of you. I will sing praises to your name, O Most High God. Again, this is articulated. One other little thing too. He said, thanking God for all the things that he's done. Have you ever thanked God for the things he's going to do? It's kind of a cool deal. You don't think God's working in your life all the time and he's already got a plan and that plan's unfolding? Thank God for the plan he has for you sometimes. Think about the events that you have no idea about. And one other thing too. I did this one time and it really felt odd. I said a prayer and didn't ask for anything. I just was thankful. I know the angels probably fainted dead away. Oh my God, he didn't need anything today. Try it sometime. Just be thankful for the things God and his provisions. For God's mercy. Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord for his good, for his mercy endures forever. Is there anybody in this room that's really glad that his mercy endures forever? Amen. I guarantee you that. Again, for the gift of Jesus. Thank God for his son. The gift too wonderful for words. We need to thank God in prayers for allowing his son to be sacrificed for each and every one of us. We're to be thankful for the love that exists among believers, each and every one of us. It is an awesome thing. 2 Thessalonians 1:3, Paul writes, we ought always to thank God for you, brothers, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love every one of you has for each other is increasing. Love and thankfulness are also connected. I will tell you, absolute love is impossible without an attitude of gratitude. There's no way that you can love somebody with a selfless love unless you are thankful for them and unless you articulate that to them. Being thankful, having an attitude of this gratitude, strengthens relationships. It also lets your spouse know too how much you appreciate them. Peace and thankfulness are also connected in Scripture. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. What's the most awesome thing about Thanksgiving? Turkey and dressing. Now, that's not what this is talking about. But be anxious for nothing. Those words there about be anxious for nothing, there are times in my life right now, I'm not even sure that's possible in my life, that I could go for any extended period of time without being a little bit anxious for something. God says, do not be that way. It's interesting, we brought my family in, my wife's mom and stepdad, who are believers. We moved them into Carillon. Of course, my mother's in a retirement home. I will tell you this about being thankful. It is tough. It was easier to raise my children than to help my parents and her parents, the elderly. It really, really is. It's a tough deal. But anyway, be anxious for nothing. By everything in prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I'm going to tell you, no thanksgiving, no peace. That's not me. It's what God says. If you're thankful, you have a chance to have peace in your life. Peace is not a given. It's just not. God wants us to be thankful for that. Now, the flip side of thankfulness, it's not ingratitude. Not at all. It's entitlement. The other side of ingratitude, of thankfulness, is entitlement. Think about that. There's a mindset in our country right now. I mean, there's programs. I mean, they've shown that people can live forever off the government programs. And I'm not, it is not a dish on those who do that. Not real happy with our government for allowing it because I think it's destructive to our society. But at the end of the day is, if we feel we are entitled, there is no reason to be thankful. If we think that God owes us something, then why be thankful? God owes us nothing. He gives us grace and mercy because He loves us very, very much. But we're not entitled to anything. And if you've got that mentality of entitlement, then there's no way you're going to be thankful. There's no way to have that attitude to do that. Remember, He has not punished us for all of our sins, nor does He deal with us as we deserve. For His unfailing love toward those who fear Him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. He has removed our rebellious acts as far away from us as the east is from the west. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for doing that. How to be more thankful. It's where the rubber meets the road. Turn off your deserver. Turn it off. Turn off that entitlement mentality and think, you know what? God is my provider and He's the giver to me and I don't deserve it and He gives it to me because He loves me. We can't turn up our thankfulness and gratitude without turning down our expectations of what we expect. And number two is changing your perspective. Now here's the thing about perspective. Have you ever gone up to somebody, and again, this is not condemnation, and you ask them, how are you doing, brother? How are you doing, sister? And the response may be, I'm blessed. I'm blessed more than I could possibly imagine. See, I got no problem with that response if you act like it. I mean, if you act like you're blessed, but you say that, then you go off and you're not smiling. You're critical in your spirit and you're negative. Then you are not blessed. You're just not help you. God doesn't want you to feel that way. So there's some of us who need to change our perspective about being thankful. Now here's the thing is, the glass half full is not good enough. I'm sorry. It's just not. What's the old thing is, the optimist and the pessimist. Optimist sees the glass half full. Pessimist sees it half empty. We need to get to the part that we're just glad we got a glass. And be thankful and know that God will provide the water that goes in the glass. You understand? We can't get there. Now, here's another thing too. Okay, you've got optimist and you've got pessimist right there. What's in the middle? A realist. Okay? Somebody tells me, he goes, well, I'm just trying to be realistic. Let me explain to you what a realist is. A realist is nothing more than a sugar-coated pessimist. I'm sorry. Realists are not optimistic. They are not. And if you're one, I'm sorry. This is my diatribe, and it's okay. I'm in the pulpit. I can do that. Okay. But Christians who have this thankfulness attitude, you know what? They tend to be very optimistic because they know that being thankful, we have a God that's going to take care of us. And so what's not to be optimistic about? Look for the good first. Okay. When you are in a circumstance, and some of this, I know it's harder for others. I get that. But what do you see? Do you see the good, or is the first thing you see is negative? Now see, this was difficult for me. Growing up, being a commercial loan officer, they trained us to look for the bad. You look for red flags. So all my life, I've been trained to look for the bad. It gets to you because you start looking for the bad. And it's a terrible mindset to have. Try to see the good in a situation as your first response to do that. Trash the critical spirit. I had somebody come up and talk to me about that. He said, well, okay, let's talk about that critical spirit you're talking about. He said, what's the difference? You've got to talk about things in your relationship and your relationships. You can't mention them? It's a good question. Here's the thing. It's the difference between a problem and a gripe. See, the difference in a problem and a gripe is a gripe has no solution. Criticism has no solution. Problems have solutions. So if there's a problem, you work it out. But if you're criticizing and you're not trying to help them and there is no solution, then just don't do it. Because it's not uplifting, it's not encouraging, and it hurts your witness. I don't think anybody likes to be around people who are critical and they're negative all the time. There's no way. Try to get rid of that critical spirit. And sometimes that is tough to do that too. Especially when you're me and you've got an answer to everything in about 3 seconds. Think much less of self. And again, let me tell you about this. Drama queens. Have you heard the term? Okay, it's demeaning to women. I'm sorry. I know a lot of drama kings. I guarantee it. Guys are just as bad about being drama kings. All right? Okay. People who are self-absorbed, here's the thing is, they live this life as a play, and they are the focus. They are the central character in this play, and the play is always a tragedy. How would you like to star in your own tragedy all the time? And they do this. People who are like this, that think of themselves, they're so self-absorbed that it's got to be about them. And the truth of the matter is, they're not happy unless there is drama. If you have a thankful spirit, which God gave you, if you have an attitude of gratitude, you know what? There is no drama except God in your life. Does that make sense? Quit thinking so much about yourself. It's a bad habit to get into. Think often of the positives in your life and thank God for them often. We need to get in the habit of just thanking God, listing the things that we're thankful for. You have no idea how many ways that you've been blessed. I tried to do it one day. I don't know, 3 or 4 pages, I ran out of room to do that with. And I started to list the things that I thought were negative in my life too. You know what? That list really wasn't very long, which surprised me because I thought it would be much longer than that. But it's just not. But we tend to gravitate to the things that are not okay. Think often of the positives in your life. Okay, work with me here a little bit now. These are some of the things that can help change our perspective. The very first one, for the taxes I pay, because it means that I'm employed. I hate paying taxes. You have absolutely no idea how bad I hate to pay taxes. It just annoys me. But you know what? I'm glad that I've got the job. People come into my office and they just gripe and complain. I said, well, let's look at the opposite. You don't make any money. You don't have to pay any taxes, but you didn't make any money. So let's think about that, money or not. It's a mindset. We still live in a great country. We really do. And honestly, it's an honor that we do help serve this country and by doing it by paying taxes. For the mess to clean up after a party or a get-together because it means I've been surrounded by friends. For the clothes that fit a little too snug, you know what, because it means I don't have to worry about where the next meal will come from. And you know what, that's Lubbock, Texas. My wife used to work at a school, being elementary, where many, many of the kids, the only meals that they got were the breakfast and the lunch that were provided. Most of them had roof of some kind. A lot of them didn't have heating and cooling. You see, that's not in Africa. I mean, that's not in Asia. It's in Lubbock, Texas. We need to praise God for the little things, even for the clothes that fit a little bit too snug. For the lawn that needs mowing, windows that need cleaning, and all the little stuff that needs fixing, because it means I have a place to live. For all the complaining I hear about government, because it means we have freedom of speech. Just a quick diatribe here now. I may not necessarily agree with our current president, and I don't on some things. I really don't. But the thing is, we need to honor the office of the President of the United States. Whether we disagree with a person, we do not have the right to tear down an individual because he is still the President of the United States for as much as I may not agree with him. And I think as the body of Christ, I think it hurts our witness when we do it. And that's just my little diatribe on that one. So for whatever that's worth, I'm thankful for the spot at the far end of the parking lot because it means I am capable of walking. Oh, you know y'all have gone to Walmart and had to park at the end of the deal and walk, and you just reach the whole way. Oh, my God, it's 50 feet, and I'm having to walk. It's hot. You know you've done that. I did it the other day, and I thought, oh, Lord Jesus, here I am preaching to myself. But it's funny, the things that just turn us and just put us in this terrible mood. We need to be thankful that we can even walk. For Mike Martindale, who sits behind me and sings off key, because it means I can hear. I'm sorry, he doesn't sing very well. I mean, that's okay. That's not his gift. He admits it, and it's all right. And I can hear him very well. And if you're watching, I love you, brother. For the piles of laundry and ironing, because it means I have clothes to wear. All right, guys, that doesn't mean that the women have to do the laundry all the time, okay? And I know some of you in here have pulled the stunt, knowingly putting a red something with the whites, and it bled over, because you knew your wife would go, oh, I'll do it, because you can't do it. Some of you have done that. I did that. And I didn't admit that first service because my wife was here. But anyway, guys, help out. For the alarm that goes off in the morning, very early, because it means, you know what, I'm still alive. There are so many things that we need to be thankful for. Changing our perspective. But the third thing is to become aware of the things God and others have done or doing for you, and ask God for this awareness. We all need to be more God aware. We all need to be looking for what God is doing in our lives individually, because God is moving moment by moment in our lives. All we need to do is watch. Ask God to make you aware of the things that you need to be thankful for. It's an amazing thing with God. When you ask Him about something like that, He'll do that. And you know what? He will reveal it to you. Then what do? You act on it. Whether it's to tell God thank you, whether it's to tell your spouse thank you, no matter what it is, take the time to act, to be thankful in all that you do. Now this one is a little bit tougher. And let's talk about this too. Paul wrote to the church in Thessalonica, says, no matter what happens, always be thankful. For this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. NIV and the NAS actually talk about no matter what happens or no matter what circumstance there is that you're to always be thankful. Thankful no matter what happens. Loss of job. Times of stress. Anxiety. Maybe sickness. Marital relationship issues. Loss of a loved one. God is not telling you to be thankful that you lost your job. Because does it feel good to lose your job? No. No. That's not what He's saying at all. When you're sick, thank you, Lord, I'm sick. No. But what He's saying is that no matter what's going on, our mind and attitude is still such that God is in control. Thankfulness is not dictated by the events that we have, good or bad, especially when they're not okay. It's hard to be thankful, man, when your relationship's not okay. It's hard to be thankful when you lose a loved one. It is very difficult to do that. And some of you here need to hear this. Being confident in this, and this is, again, Paul's letter to the church at Philippi. Being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. God created what kind of work in you? It's a good one. Every one of you, without exception, who's a believer, God started a good work. He did not create in you a bad work. He created a good work in you. And He'll be faithful to complete it. You know what? It's one of the things that we need to be most thankful for, is that God created us to have this good work. Sometimes during the tough times, it's really, really difficult to be thankful. Like I said, I was talking about moving my in-laws and how stressful that really is. We had an incident, this was last week. It really, really has been stressful. They needed to get their house sold. They really did. We looked for the prices. We picked a realtor from someone in their church who they knew intimately. Figured out a price, even came off that price a little bit. And so after 20 days, I get a phone call, because they're supposed to call me, and said, Mike, looks like we've got a sale on the house and we need to take it. And I said, well, that's cool. How much is it? Well, it's about $6,000-$7,000 less than what we've got it listed for. And I said, wow, that's a lot less. I said, we've already come down on the price a little bit. Why don't we? Well, you need to take it. And I said, well, you know what? It's only been 20 days. Well, you're making a mistake. And I go, you know what? I don't think we're going to make a mistake. We've only been doing this 20 days. Well, I'm sorry. And I go, you know what? Don't you go to church with my mother-in-law? And he goes, I said, you know what? We're going to stand in faith today that it's going to sell for more. We're going to give it some more time. And you know what? 90 days, if we have to take it down, we're going to do that. It's going to be okay. My mother-in-law, they are stressed to the gills. I said, just take a deep breath. It's going to be okay. We get a call the next day. Sales were $6,000 more. Because we trusted God in the times of stress. Thank God, no matter what happens, even if it's a stressful move, which they are stressed as it can be, God took that stress away from them. It wasn't so much that it was a $6,000 more than that we needed to do that, which I reminded her that we need to stand more in faith. That's kind of like, hey, I told you so. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done it that way. But we've got to do that. We really do. An attitude of gratitude. I'm going to challenge each and every one of you this next week to do that. Get rid of your critical spirit. Be thankful. Tell your spouse. Tell those around you at work. Figure out ways to tell them how much you appreciate them. Express your gratitude and tell Jesus the same thing. Let's bow forward to prayer. Lord God, we just thank you for today. I thank you for all those in this audience who've come and maybe for the first time to the Heights. Father, I am thankful for how much you love us, that nothing can separate me from that love. I thank you for your grace and for your mercy. But I tell you what, Lord, most of all, I thank you for the spot in heaven that I have because I've accepted you as my Lord and Savior, and that my place with you is assured today. And Lord, there may be those here today who don't know you as Lord and Savior, that their eternity may be in doubt. God, I ask right now that you move your Holy Spirit to deal with them, to convict them, to know that all they've got to do is to proclaim you as Lord and Savior. And Father, I'm going to thank you now for that. Lord Jesus, again, I hope that as we go our separate ways today, that our lights will shine for you because we have an attitude of gratitude, that we're going to be thankful, and the people who see us will see the difference. We thank you, Jesus. In Christ's name, amen.